You know, what I think success is being in a state of health and of thriving. The first step he had with this brand new, you know, Olympic hopeful team, he had them clean bathrooms. Like a failure in the sense that it's like not yet. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get there, but it means not yet. How do you do that? I mean, from my experience, the best way is just reaching out to other people and having them help. What you get is accountability, and that accountability is huge.
It's just excuses. You know, if you really want to do it, you're going to find a way. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, but let's do it together. Help me by being the best version of yourself and truly do something with your life. Today's guest is making his comeback to the I Love Success podcast. He was our first guest ever on the show and set the bar for what would become a podcast with Olympians, Navy SEALs, UFC champions, best-selling authors, TED speakers, astronauts, and many, many more. He's the always smiling world record holder, a former Olympian that is now a father and entrepreneur. He's one of the most positive people I have ever met, and he's constantly trying to do more, to do better, and make an impact on this world. His name is Skye Christofferson. Welcome, Skye.
Thanks, Peter. This is so cool to be back after doing the very first podcast with you years ago. And to be back here again, since you've done over 100?
Almost. Podcasts? This is 96.
96.
So we're almost at 100.
That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, what a journey.
I mean, when I'm sitting here right now, it feels surreal because we were sitting in another room. We didn't have this cool and fancy production. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But I knew that I wanted to share people's stories, and I couldn't have had a better first guest than you. And so that's true, because the show was amazing, and I was so nervous because you said, no, I'm a little bit sick, and I got the same text yesterday. So I was like, are we not going to do this? But I know that you're a competitor and you always show up. You just want to tease me a little bit, I think.
That's right.
So Skye, what has happened since we did our first podcast in your life? Do you want to share that with us?
Wow. Yeah, a lot has changed. And thanks again for having me as your very first guest years back. Peter and I met because we were working here at WeWork here in Santa Monica, Silicon Beach. And we were both competitive athletes. So Peter, you were a karate world medalist, and I was a cyclist. And we bonded very quickly over that in the beginning. And at that time, Peter, you had just put out your first book called The Goal Book, this beautiful black book. And that really resonated with me. One of the exercises in that was to create a bucket list. And I made, you know, it was a flight over. I was going to New York to meet with some investors. And I created this bucket list on the plane based on the exercises in your book. And funny enough, a few of those have happened since then. And one of those was experiencing my own child being born.
Wow.
So that's probably one of the biggest changes since.
That must be since then. Huge.
You know? Oh, it's an incredible experience. And, you know, that's something I always wanted to know and to go through. And that's, you know, undoubtedly the biggest life change since we spoke last time.
Yeah, and your kid Adi, he's such a beautiful kid. I just met him now, and I feel so happy for you guys. So I'm grateful for everything that happened to you. I'm so happy to see you growing as a man, not only as an athlete or an entrepreneur. It's life comes in seasons, right? And this is your season right now, and this is your show. To make this show a little bit interesting, I'm going to ask you like 10 questions that I think are really, really interesting questions for all of us, for mankind, for humanity. And I think you are a good person to talk about because you've been in the trenches. You have had the ups, you've had the downs, both as an athlete, as an entrepreneur. I mean, yeah. You've been all over the world and you have a lot of experience. So I think we can explore that in a great way today and help the people listening. But before we start with those questions, I want to ask you one thing, because I've probably quoted you in like probably half of the podcast, because you said one thing that really resonated with me. And I usually ask my guests this, and you said you're either chasing something or you're running away from something. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, where are you now in your life? Are you chasing something or are you running away from something?
Wow. I didn't remember saying that, but that's a really interesting dynamic, because I believe Lance Armstrong was one of the athletes who had coined that term of on the side of running away from something. And I remember he was saying he was running away from death by winning. And that's why he would win at all costs. Yeah. He would win at all costs. In an ideal state, I'm chasing something, right? Yeah. I'm chasing this possibility of helping millions of people be healthier and fitter, you know, through this project, Personal Gold, through the Gold app. But a lot of times that switches back and forth from chasing to running away. And usually it's running away from fears that are coming up. So it's a constant sort of dance between these things about chasing this vision and then running away from some of these fears.
Yeah. What are some of those fears?
You know, for me, honestly, as an athlete, you know, we're used to making our bodies as strong as they can be, our minds, our emotions. You know, it's all about progress, and we're creating a vector, and it's a vector of improvement. And I think as bodybuilders say the same thing, when the reason these guys take all of the steroids and the drugs is that when they put on just a little bit of new muscle, they feel like there's progress. And they get really hooked in that. They get addicted to that feeling of progress, because once the vector, you know, to me, this upward vector is life. It's living, it's growing. It's, you know, you don't know where the potential is. As soon as you have this feeling that the vector's dropping and going down, that can feel like dying or like death. And as an athlete, you know, we're used to this. And one of the biggest changes I had was, you know, having a child. And for the first time, and we talked about this at lunch today, not having, sort of getting out of this upward vector and acting and thinking beyond ourselves and more towards our family. The love of the family, the care of the family. And, you know, that means less sleep. It means, you know, putting more time into them and less on yourself. And when you're used to feeling your body at a very strong, you know, high level of fitness, that can be tough, because that's, you know, I felt a lot of my fitness going away, and I felt that downward angle.
Yeah.
And it scared the crap out of me a few times.
So how would you define success? Is it learning from failure, you mean? Is that success? Or, like, what would be your definition? Like,
well, so in a very sort of Western worldly sense, you know, kind of in our world here of, like, projects and milestones and deadlines and all of this, right? Success in that world is creating a goal or a milestone and then reaching it, right?
Okay.
And hopefully that project has like a greater meaning or a greater purpose. But stepping back, big picture, you know, what I think success is, and Sam Harris, the neuroscientist, wrote a couple great books about this, about human culture or human thriving. And I think what it is being in a state of health and of thriving. And you know it as an athlete, when you're in a state of thriving, it feels great. Your health is maximized. When I coach athletes or other people, we call it the warm fuzzy state, you know, the warm fuzzy feel. And it really is. If you're feeling warm and you're, you know, and metaphysically they say you're vibrating at a higher level and you're feeling joy, you know, daily as in a state, I think that really is. And that's not culturally relative. Like Sam Harris said, you can scan people's brains and you can see if they're thriving, if they're in a state of happiness, if they're in an absence of pain and all of these things. I think that's a goal. I think health is, you know, that's all tied together with health and human thriving. So that's the biggest aim here.
It is. And how do you get there then?
Well, with this personal gold app, we've tried to break it down into the core pieces. And I believe it's the relationship between your physical activity, your nutrition, and your sleeping. And those are like the core pillars. Once you have those in place, you can, you know, like Abraham Maslow has this hierarchy of needs. Once the basics are in place, you work up the pyramid, and then you go towards, you know, relationships, you go towards meaning, you know, in your projects and in your work, all the way up to the top, which is, you know, self-actualized.
Yeah.
And so that's, I believe it's a movement like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And I think you that are listening to this, you have to think about that. What are the moments when you are the most happy, and how can you create more of those moments? Because life is short, and I always try to think about this. Every day above ground is a great day, and that's a win in the morning when I wake up. And then I can go out and go and chase all these dreams and goals, which are cool. But I mean, I'm alive. If you're listening to this podcast, it means that you probably have an iPhone or a smartphone, and you're probably in the top 5% of the world when it comes to wealth. And that's a blessing, right?
Yeah, that is a blessing. Yeah.
And we forget that.
I was going to ask you, so on the topic of happiness, you've interviewed now 97 other people on this podcast. And I'm curious, so in having, you now have kind of this body of knowledge. Yeah. I mean, you've really taken all of this in from people. What has that changed the way that you see happiness or you see success after this journey?
Success, yes. Happiness, no. Because like a lot of the people that I have met, their success comes from a drive from pain a lot of times, you know? They want, like most, if we look at why we do things, in a certain way, I think it's because we want to be loved. We want to be seen. If you would like go to a psychologist and talk why you became an athlete and why you went so far, it would probably be because you have a need of being seen and being loved. And you're willing to fight really hard to get there. And a lot of the successful people that I have met, they have that. They have some kind of drive. Not necessarily they had a bad upbringing or anything like that, but there's some kind of drive in them that makes them want to do things that are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads us to the next questions. And that is something that we already touched base on. And I know you're really good at this. You're creating a whole concept around it. So what would be your three best routines for being healthy?
That does fit right into the personal gold app. When we're helping people, you know, when we coach people and then we look at all of the science and the research, we have an advisory team of 18 people who are all the top in their fields, nutrition, sleep. We've had this conversation that you kind of have to choose your battles, right? Because you're never going to be able to do everything perfectly or intervene in a way where people are going to change and revamp everything, you know, to reach their absolute potential, because there are certain realities or certain things they're just not willing to change. So we focus on like the low hanging fruit, like, and this is great for this question. Like, what are the three easiest things that you can maybe not even change, but just adjust? You know, for example, you said if you want to drink some beers once in a while, you know, and you just want to just go out and have a great time. Sometimes it's just a matter of timing. Like what we teach people in Personal Gold is that if you do happy hour versus the late night drinks, that has a huge difference in the impact of that, because late night drinks really impact your sleep. They really screw up your sleep cycles. But if you drink earlier in happy hour and still enjoy that, but give it a little bit of time to burn off, right, before you go to sleep, it makes all the difference in your health and your, you know, your fitness. So it's, I would say the three things, the three lowest hanging fruit, I would say, have that morning routine that you wrote a book of, you have a new book about. Yeah. The morning routine is key. And in the sense of, you know, our mission, I'd say, don't skip breakfast. Just eat a higher protein, plant-based breakfast. That's key. Make sure you eat and fuel up before, 90 to 120 minutes before your workout, and then have that recovery meal right after the training. And then I would say have a consistent bedtime. And again, if you're going to drink alcohol or caffeine, make sure that's hours and hours earlier so that it doesn't interfere with your sleep. So you're starting the day solid. Also, you're in the morning, you're getting that natural light exposure. Open up those curtains, go for a walk outside, get that light, because that really anchors your circadian rhythms. So those are the three things, you know, in terms of routine that that I would most recommend.
That's great. So how can you apply sports to real life? Because you've been very successful as an athlete. Like, what have you learned as an athlete that have helped you in your personal life or business?
I guess being an athlete has maybe screwed me up more than anything else to be transitioned into being a normal, well-adjusted person.
Elaborate, please.
I think that, you know, it's really tough that you always, like you made the point earlier that things are only relative, right? And for an elite athlete, you're always comparing yourself against where you were at some different state and always comparing. And even if, you know, you're still relatively fit and healthy, there's always going to be that comparison and maybe some frustration. So you definitely have to let go of that a bit. You know, I would say the thing I learned most from sport is the discipline, you know, because again, it's like, I mean, I know it's a lot of the conversations around, you know, pursuing your dreams and being creative and you know, living this great sort of startup lifestyle here, and it seems so glamorous, and the reality is that it's just a ton of work, you know. And it's like you mentioned Elon Musk, you know, and I know there's a very shiny element to his persona, you know, and putting the spaceman up in the car in space and launching rockets and making these fast vehicles. But what you're seeing now is that to scale these and to produce them on time in a Tesla production timeline, and then even to deliver them on time through the distribution channels is a huge, monstrous challenge. And right now he's in the thick of that, and he's really bogged down. He's talking about how he's stuck in the factory for 3-4 nights on end, how he never sleeps, which I would say, okay, Elon, let's focus on getting some sleep, because that's one of those core pillars, and that's not going to be sustainable. But what you see is that it's really dirty, messy, relentless, nasty work sometimes. And that's what, as an athlete, you know, we just learned that there are going to be these incredibly tough times. You just have to push through. You have to believe that in the process, no matter how tired you are, sticking out that process is going to help you get through. So yeah, work ethic. It's huge. It's
huge. I like that too. And like, for me, what sports taught me is the discipline and also that hard work gives you rewards. And like being an athlete, seeing the world, meeting all these amazing people, being respected, going on to, instead of being a spectator, you're on the arena. And I mean, that is huge. I believe that is huge. And I want everybody, they don't have to compete in any sport, but don't be a spectator. You know, we're constantly browsing everybody's Instagram feed and just looking at other people all the time. And as long as we're only focusing on that, we can never truly see our own potential.
Yeah.
And I mean, having you have all this potential as a human being. Don't you want to see where that can take you?
Yeah.
No matter if it's becoming a mom, like the coolest mom ever, or creating this app, or becoming an actor, or just getting a better relationship with your dad, or just taking care of your friends, you know? Don't be like that spectator or the person that half-ass everything. Like, sports taught me that like, if I do something, I do something. You know, I see people sometimes, they're gonna, how do you say this? They're gonna, it's a table and they're gonna clean it, right? With a cloth. And it's so slow, it's like one, and they miss everything. Or even worse, they do everything and miss a little hole. And I'm thinking, you did all that work, and why didn't you finish that?
Yeah.
Why don't you finish what you start? I want to be a person that finish what I start.
Yeah.
I want to be a person that are on the arena. I might not excel all the time. People might laugh at me because I'm losing or whatever it is, but I'm there. I'm fucking there. I'm doing my best. And that is a fulfillment that no one can take away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a deep intrinsic reward. You know, this one of the track cyclists in the Olympics, his name's Josiah Nigg.
Yeah.
He was with Malaysia, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's now coaching another one of the Asian teams. And he check this out. Josiah, the first step he had with this brand new, you know, Olympic hopeful team, he had them clean bathrooms. And he took photos of the bathrooms before and after with each athlete. And what he said was that was the most revealing thing about where each of these athletes were in their approach to what it means to finish something, like you said, and put care and pride and dignity and to really give it your best in anything you're doing. And he could see that between the bathrooms that, like you said, they're just wiped quickly, like, what's the point of this? Kind of like Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid. Versus the other athletes who already had that deep sense of pride, where they just on principle, intrinsically, they weren't going to let that be half-assed. Yeah. They're going to finish it out, and they're going to make sure they did their best. And that doesn't mean that the athletes who, you know, who didn't understand that yet, maybe they didn't have that. That can be taught, that could be trained. And then Josiah would teach them the importance of doing it all the way, because it's a matter of internal pride. And that, you know, he as he pointed out, that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Once you carry that into how you train, how you, you know, what kind of parent you are, all of these things.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, how do you do anything is how you do everything, right? That's what they say. And I believe that because it's you can't expect to be successful in one area and then maybe your family life is in shambles. That is not really success. Or, I don't know, just do, if you do it, do it. If you don't do it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. And that doesn't mean that you have to be the best in the world or anything like that. It means that you have to do the best of your ability. That's what we're talking about here. Not competing with anyone else. I mean, I know a guy in Brazil, a karate practitioner, and he has one leg. And he trains and he goes to competition. He's such an inspiration. And he has taken his life to something positive instead of feeling sorry for yourself. I only have one leg. I wish I would have had two legs. I mean, he's such an inspiration to all of us, you know, that you can do things. And we all have things like that in bigger or smaller scales, but it doesn't matter. It matters what are we doing and how do we do it?
It's such a matter of perspective. Yeah. That's why I love the Paralympics and the Special Olympics, because those are venues where you have these athletes who I think for the most part have reframed that and seeing maybe they have this, what's considered a shortcoming, or they're missing a limb, or they have these challenges. And yet I would say a lot of them, the ones that I've met, I get a sense that they're grateful. So let's say they have one leg, they're great. Their attitude is, hey, I still have this other leg. Yeah. And I can make this leg so strong and I can do so many things still. Yeah. And that's that mindset. And I love that.
Yeah, it's great. Yes, guy. So this has been amazing. As always, time is just flying by. I don't even know how long we've been talking, probably for 90 minutes
hours
or so. And yeah, but with you, time always flies by, and it's something special with you. And that's why I wanted to have you here, recapping your life. And you have this aura of glow that is special. And I'm so happy to be a part of that, and that you want to call me your friend, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, this from your first book, the Goal Book, to our conversation on the first podcast, and then more recently, you know, when we reconnected earlier today, you've been a huge part in helping me remember a lot of these, you know, most important things about purpose and, you know, not getting too attached to these low points, because man, it's hard. And I wonder if there's any such thing as maybe the mastery isn't so much in, you know, not in thinking that you're not going to have the down points that seem like they're going to be forever and have you questioning everything. Maybe that's always going to happen, but it's the way we move through these and the way we remember back to that higher purpose. And, you know, with this journey of personal gold, it's just remembering those people that came up to me after the film, just with tears in their eyes, and just said, you know, that's like, that just warmed my heart, you know, watching those girls do the impossible and win an Olympic medal without drugs. And, you know, how can I have a piece of this? How can I do this in my life? And, you know, I just, that's what I think back to, is like those people. And that's really what keeps all this going. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm going to let you go to your son. Is it bedtime for him soon?
Pretty soon.
So I'm going to let you do that. And we're going to thank you everybody for listening in here today. We had an amazing time here as usual when Sky comes on. And I'm so grateful that you guys are listening. If you liked what we talked about, help us spreading this message by sharing this with someone that you truly believe needs this. Maybe someone that never would have listened to this, but they need to hear this. Give it to them, and yeah, keep going after your dreams and truly do something with your life. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.